I'm going to be reading Mark 14, verses 22 to 25. While they were eating, Jesus took to his disciple. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God."
Good morning again. Who's on spring break? Spring break from school, from college. Okay, have several on spring break. And if you are on spring break, you probably miss school. So, this morning the sermon will start out with a couple of lessons, just for you. First, let me share with you something that I teach college speech students. I teach them not to end a speech with thank you. There are better ways to end a speech. A speaker should carefully plan a conclusion that relates to the body of the speech, and the speech should end with that planned conclusion. It needs to be well thought out. It needs to be somewhat memorable. Ending with thank you isn't necessarily bad. It's not as bad as, "Well, that's all I got." I've seen that. Or, "I guess that's about it." I've heard both of those multiple times. But ending a speech with thank you just sort of weakens the conclusion's punch. Okay, you can tuck that lesson away until the end of the sermon. And now we move on to our second lesson of the morning, because people on spring break are missing school. Our next lesson is a vocabulary lesson. Yeah, I know that excites you, right? Corbin loves it. Today we get to learn two words today. Now, you might already know these words, but we don't use them very much. The first one is Eucharist. Eucharist, let's say it together. Make sure we know that it's not Eucharist or something like that, okay? Everybody together, Eucharist, yes. Now, Eucharist means Thanksgiving, not the holiday, but the act of giving thanks. When we give thanks, we do Eucharist. When we say thank you, we are doing Eucharist. That's our first word, Eucharist. Our second word is Eucharistic. Let's say that one together. Eucharistic, yes. Eucharist is a noun. Eucharistic is an adjective. You feel like you're in school? Huh. All right. This will be on the test. Eucharistic means having something to do with thanks. If you send someone a message to express thanks, like a thank you card or thank you text, that message is a Eucharistic message. And when we come together to worship God on Sunday mornings, if we thank God for blessings, we're doing Eucharistic worship. Eucharistic worship is thankful, it's grateful, it's appreciative. When we come together to worship God on Sunday morning together, if we read scriptures of thanks, if we sing songs of thanks, if we say prayers of thanks, we do Eucharistic worship. And in much of church history, a specific part of the worship assembly has been very Eucharistic. And the name of that very Eucharistic part of worship is, can you guess? the Eucharist. Yes. Which is different from just Eucharist. Eucharist has this more general meaning. The Eucharist is something a little more specific. Eucharist means thanksgiving. Eucharist also is a word for communion or the Lord's Supper. And in a lot of church history, the Eucharist has been the most important part of the worship gathering when God's people come together to praise God. The Eucharist has been the most important part, the part that has received the most attention in a lot of the history of Christianity. Sometimes the sermon becomes the focus. Sometimes the singing becomes the focus. In some congregations, maybe prayer becomes the focus. But in a lot of our history, the Eucharist has been the center of attention in worship, the focus. The Eucharist is based on the last meal that Jesus had with his friends before his resurrection. This meal was part of their celebration of Passover. And of course, Passover was a Jewish holiday that remembered how God delivered Israelites from Egyptian slavery. And the Passover meal that Jesus and his friends had together had a lot of different items, and two of those items were bread and wine, which have morphed today into bread and juice for a lot of us. The last meal that Jesus had with his friends before his crucifixion appears in the Bible. Four New Testament passages give us details about this event. And Naomi read one of those for us, the one from Matthew 14. Mark 14. It's also in Matthew 26 and Luke 22 and 1 Corinthians 11. And when Naomi read Mark 14, verses 22 to 25 for us, we heard Jesus give thanks. Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. Jesus took a cup and gave thanks. There's this thanksgiving, this Eucharist. And because Jesus gave thanks, we also give thanks. We thank God through songs. We thank God through readings. We thank God in prayers. We thank God in sermons. We thank God when the offering baskets are passed around. And we thank God when we observe the Lord's Supper in the Eucharist, in communion. We commune with God and with each other, and together we say to God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his coming into this world. Thank you for his life and his teachings. Thank you for his crucifixion and his resurrection and his return. Thank you for saving us and forgiving us. All of you who are followers of Jesus are invited to come up to the front and enjoy this memorial meal with us as we remember Jesus and thank God for him.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for Jesus, your son. Thank you for giving him to us, and his teachings and his crucifixion, and for him rising for us, and for him coming and returning. As we take the Eucharist together in this morning, please let our hearts swell in gratitude for your love and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. A cross.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything that you've blessed us with, like clean water and food to eat every night. Thank you for family and friends that help us in our walk with you. And thank you for this amazing church family that we have here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this is part three of a series on communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist. And we have called this series, Come Share the Lord. And we just did that together. In communion. In the Eucharist, we thank God for Jesus, for his coming into the world, for his life and teachings, for his crucifixion, his resurrection, his return. We thank God for the salvation and the forgiveness that we find in Jesus. We thank God in the Eucharist. And we thank God in other parts of the worship assembly. Part one of this sermon talked about Eucharistic worship. When we come together on Sunday morning, we need to give thanks to God. And we have an opportunity to do that right now. In the next few minutes, you have a double opportunity to express thanks to God. You should have some thank you cards. You should have two thank you cards. One of those will be used in this activity. You get to write a thank you card to God. Now, I'm not going to give you an address to put on the envelope, but you can hold on to this or use it however is most beneficial to your spiritual growth. Keep it in your Bible, put it, tape it to your mirror, whatever you want to do with it. But for the next few minutes, you get to write a note of thanks to God. While we are doing that, we're going to multitask. While we are doing that, the microphone will be open to any of you who want to come up and just tell us what you are thankful to God for. So what do you thank God for? You can come to the microphone and share that with us as we write these thank you cards to God.
If you didn't get a thank you note, they're out on the table in the foyer. I encourage you to go ahead and grab two notes and a pen. I think it's kind of obvious what I'm thankful for. And this is a little miracle baby. And Liz and I are continually giving thanks to God for this blessing. But another thing I'm very thankful for, I've been just watching you all with her and how you all love her so dearly. And it's amazing that I even get to hold her right now, because it's usually somebody hogging her and then people fighting over her. So I am very thankful that she is going to have lots of good influences in her life as she grows older. And she's going to have people a lot older than her and people, you know, who are teenagers today or will be teenagers when she's a little bit older, and that you're going to be helping us, Liz and I, too, to raise this child. So thank you. Thank you, God, for those things.
I want to take this time to thank God. My wife and I, the last week, it's been very trying. We had some issues with my son and wanting to take his life. And God gave me an opportunity to go out and be with him and his family. And, you know, I didn't have much for him other than to share God with him. And I shared and I shared. And I came home with just a wonderful feeling that God was going to do a great work in him and his family. They had talked about divorce, and they're now trying to reconcile. And so I truly believe that God is going to do a great work. And so I'm so thankful to God. And just him putting on my heart to not try to fix things, but just to share him. And I think that's the best thing I could have done. And so I'm just thankful. And I'm thankful for a lot of you guys and your prayers. Sometimes we feel that we are the only one praying, and if we don't pray, nothing's going to happen. But when you have a family of people praying, my church family, my biological family, you know, I'm thankful because I have that. I have that support. And it means so much. Thank you, guys.
I would like to thank God that He created me a human being, and not only human being, but I can say the crown of the creation. And He made me not only just common human being, but He gave me opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, to become His son. So I thank God that I can call God my Father. Not only this, but He gave me opportunity to share Jesus Christ and my faith to many people so that I could bring hundreds of people to God. And I thank God He has given me this opportunity, and He made me an instrument for this work. And I also thank for God, for He provides our daily needs, daily bread, and thank for family, and I cannot count blessings. He has given me so many blessings. I thank Him daily.
I'm thankful for a lot of things, but the one I'm thinking about today is I'm really thankful for God's faithfulness. For those of you guys who know my best friend, Bree, hey, I think I'm calling you out. Yeah, we've been best friends for 5 years now, since the first day of high school. We had our first period class freshman year together, and we became friends, but we were two completely opposite people, like very different from the people who we are today. But I started praying for her. I started writing her name in the prayer book every week and praying that she would end up agreeing to come to church. And one day she just told me, she was like, "Look, I'm never going to come to church with you. I'm not going to be interested in it. I'm not going to open up to that. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings." But that was 3 years ago. And she started coming to church with me when she was 8 months pregnant with my godson. And now she met Corbin, and now they're engaged. And last week she told me she wanted to get baptized. And I'm just really thankful for God's faithfulness in that, because I couldn't imagine like everything that's happened. And my prayers are, I'm not worth God even listening to, like, as a person. I'm not worthy of that at all. So I'm really thankful for that. And I'm also, Corbin's not even in here, I'm really thankful for Corbin Scott. We don't get along ever. Like, most of the time I want to hit Corbin in the face. Most of the time, Corbin and I do not, hey, we don't get along. We do not. But he is so great to my best friend, and he brings out the best in her. And he's a really, really good future stepdad to my godson. So I'm really thankful for God's faithfulness in that whole situation. So, yeah.
If I'm cutting anybody off, you can come on up. We could do one more. Okay. Bree, I'm glad you're here too. And Alicia, I think you're worthier than you give yourself credit for. Good for us to be humble, though. But we are created in the image of God, and we are valuable. And Corbin, I don't know what to say. In part one of the sermon, we talked about Eucharistic worship. In this part, talk about Eucharistic life, Eucharistic living. What we do together on Sunday mornings needs to shape and empower how we live the rest of the week. We thank God not just when we come together on Sunday mornings. We need to do it regularly, not just on special days. We need to thank God every day. When my family prays together, especially at mealtime, we thank God for things, and I love it when my 3-year-old son prays. He thanks God for the day. He thanks God for the food. He thanks God for the bread. He thanks God for the carrots. He thanks God for the green beans. He thanks God for the milk or apple juice or whatever. He thanks God for the plate. He thanks God for the fork. And sometimes I wonder if he will ever stop thanking God. And I hope he doesn't. I hope Caleb never stops thanking God. I hope you never stop thanking God. It's something we need to do all the time. You see, when we regularly give thanks to God, that shapes how we live. It shapes how we interact with people. The New Testament has a book called Colossians. It's a letter written to first century Christians. And the letter is primarily about how people in community treat each other. And in chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, we find these words. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see that connection between thanksgiving and how we treat each other. In this biblical letter called Colossians, thanksgiving isn't a once-a-year holiday. It's a way of life. In this biblical letter, thanksgiving is more than feasts and football. It's a way of treating people throughout the year. And in this biblical letter, thanksgiving is more than something we do on Sunday mornings. It's a way of living every day, all week long, every week. What Jesus does and says in the Bible, and what we do and say in these worship gatherings, should shape and inspire what we do and say in the rest of the week. Eucharistic life is a life of thanks. And it takes place in relationships, and it affects relationships and how we treat people. And it looks like this: gratitude, compassion, kindness, humility, love, forgiveness, gentleness, patience, peace. Are you living a Eucharistic life? Does your life say thanks to God? Does that thanksgiving shape how you treat the people around you? whatever your answers, as we sing the next song, some of our shepherds and I will be at the back of the room, and we invite you to come and talk with us and let us pray for you and thank God for you. Thank you.